You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. There's a lot of talk and a lot of press about Detroit as the comeback city. And it's true, there's a lot of development taking place in the city's business districts. But in the neighborhoods, it's a different story. Unemployment is high, money is short. Recently, a Detroit reporter wrote an article for Bloomberg about Detroit's underground economy, or as she calls it, a gift economy or sharing economy. Valerie Vandepan joins us now. And we also have Jessica Ramirez with Detroiters Helping Each Other, a store that's something like a thrift store, except it gives away items such as donated clothes and other goods. Valerie, let's start with the basics. How does this alternative economy work?
So it's a little bit different from a barter system. So a lot of people read the story and they were like, wow, Detroit's doing barter. Economists tend to think of barter as I'll give you one loaf of bread for 1 pound of meat or something like that. And it's a system that tends to take place when people don't know one another and they want to make sure their exchange is equal. What's happening in Detroit is a gift economy. And what that means is that whatever people have that they can share, they do. And what people need, they take. And everyone in that way is able to have their basic needs met. So it's the kind of system that can exist when you have a community that has been around for a long time and that people think will be there in years to come. So there's no, you know, if somebody in your neighborhood needs something, you can give it to them because at some point in the future, they might have something that you need and you know that they'll still be there.
So this is sort of a formalized neighbor helping neighbor.
I wouldn't even call it formalized. It's hard to measure these kinds of things because, you know, it's taking place oftentimes in people's homes or these aren't transactions that are being recorded. These are support systems and networks that are formed out of absolute necessity. We're talking about people, you know, they don't have jobs. They don't have cash readily available. You know, you can't go out and just buy a refrigerator when yours dies. So, you know, you've got hungry mouths to feed. How do you, you know, keep food fresh? And that's where places like what Jessica does become so important because if, say, you know, you're lucky enough to be able to purchase a new refrigerator and you get one and you have your old one, it still works fine. You can give it to Detroiters Helping Each Other. And then when somebody needs a refrigerator, they can just give it to you. And it's a safety net in the poor parts of the city.
Jessica, tell us how your story, Detroiters Helping Each Other, work.
Well, when we started it in 2013, I actually worked with animals. I worked in rescue. And with helping the animals, I kept seeing that if families needed help with the animals, they needed help inside their home. So we started bringing the families that we were helping with animals. I was networking for clothes and stuff. We did it out of my home for a little over a year. I had 3 rooms set up. And all we do is if somebody has an item needed, we'll post it on our personal page and we ask. And if somebody has it, they can drop it off. We'll take it or we'll pick it up. And then we go through our list for like big ticket items like refrigerators and stoves. Those are so hard to come by, and there's a mile-long list for those. You know, our number one priority are CPS cases and fire victims. CPS cases because we want to help keep the families together. And then, you know, fire victims, they pretty much lose everything. So we try to make that transition of their time in need as easy as possible. So then we just do everyday stuff where we have clothing, household items, kitchenware. People can just come in and get what they need. You know, some families, single moms, like what I was saying, refrigerators die. You know, they lose all the food. We just went through that with a mother with 5 children.
I want to ask you a little bit about these CPS cases a little further. Child Protective Services, that basically the state is saying, we're going to take your kids if you don't get this in the house. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So we help the best we can. Right now we're working on trying to get 5 twin-size beds for 2 families right now. And we've been putting the plea out for like almost a week or 2 now, and we still haven't get them. But we don't give up.
Who donates to it? Is it just a certain neighborhood, a certain part of town, or do you?
No, we help and we network and collaborate with all over Michigan. We have people from Kentucky, California, Pennsylvania, Texas send us stuff. It's a statewide. It's everywhere. It comes from all over the place. And a lot of our donations come from downriver. We have a big support system. One of our biggest support system is Mayor Patty Odette from Woodhaven. She is phenomenal with us. If I really need help and we're not getting luck, I'll contact her and she'll put a plea out, and she helps our community tremendously.
Valerie, you write that some of these gift economy scenarios include things like people driving other people to the hospital when they need to go instead of calling an ambulance. Why wouldn't they just call the ambulance?
Well, I think if you've been a resident of Detroit for a long period of time, you've lost a bit of confidence in the response times to EMT. And
the mayor's office has been telling us for more than a year that they've really cut the time down. Is you're not finding that to be the case in the neighborhoods?
Well, they they do tout those numbers, and they those numbers do look good. But at the same time, you're talking about neighborhoods that have been marginalized and disenfranchised for a generation or more. And so what's happened is people have created these community support networks with vehicle sharing. You know, not everybody can afford to have a car. Not everybody can afford the insurance on the vehicles. As we all know, it's very high here in Michigan. So what happens is people create plans. So if there is an emergency, there's somebody they can call upon to get to the hospital, to get to kidney dialysis, to get to work. There's also situations, I interviewed a woman, she didn't end up in the story, but she was so excited. She was 21. She just got her first car, and she was so excited to be able to give all of the people in her immediate area rides because nobody had a car. She was the first person in her area to have a car. And we're talking about a place where, you know, the taxi services are just, you might wait 3 or 4 hours to never for a car service to show up, a taxi. A lot of people don't have smartphones. So, you know, there's no Uber or Lyft for them. And they still need to get around. Public transit is poor. So these kinds of car sharing where you either share your car, you share your keys with your neighbor, or you have neighbors who you can rely on to get you where you need to be, or especially in an emergency situation, that becomes a vital safety net and a vital sense of security for people who wouldn't otherwise be able to get around.
Jessica, people in the neighborhoods wonder if they'll ever benefit or be allowed to share in the prosperity that's taking place in certain business districts in Detroit. How do you think that might happen?
I think if the community keeps sticking together and working together, that we can bring the grassroots back. I mean, it's all about, as we say it at Detroiters, it's teamwork makes the dream work. If we work together and if we have 10 goals and we come together as a team and work on one or two of them small ones, we're accomplishing something to work up to that big goal. And we're going to make things better. People can doubt Detroit all they want, but at the end of the day, we stick up for each other and we're there for each other.
Valerie, I have one more question. I've heard more than one neighborhood leader say they got by a long time without any kind of city services before bankruptcy and after bankruptcy. The last thing they want now is the city coming in and demanding permits or requiring inspections for maybe little shops or restaurants that have developed to serve neighborhoods when the city was not serving them. How widespread is that sentiment?
I think it's everywhere. I think people have really, like Jessica said, stuck together. And, you know, these community support networks are the reason there's a Detroit that's here for people to move to now. And I think that that's important to remember. These families and these generations of Detroiters have stuck together and have made it work through thick and thin in the city. And they don't want to see what happened to, for example, Black Bottom, Paradise Valley.
Places that were wiped off the map.
completely, and they don't want to see that happen. And then, of course, you know, you wipe a place off the map, and then you decide to recreate it. Like, they think the city's trying to recreate Paradise Valley now. That's one of their plans, is to recreate the entertainment of Paradise Valley and some of the few remaining buildings. But they're evicting the people who live in those buildings now in order to do that. At some point, I think...
That's a little more than irony there, yeah.
I think it's important, you know, to recognize what people are doing and how they're doing it. And they're doing it in what's really a healthy community way, the best way that they can. And how do you, you know, how can you incorporate that with the further development in the city? And it's not like I have a magic solution or the perfect answer to that question, but I think it's an important question to engage the communities and the neighborhoods on. What are you doing here, and how can we support you in continuing in keeping these networks together so we don't tear that very fabric apart and destroy something that is quite special.
Valerie Van De Pen wrote the article "Life Without Money in Detroit's Survival Economy" for Bloomberg. Jessica Ramirez operates the store Detroiters Helping Each Other. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having us on.